Welcome, everyone, to KTWHLP, Two Harbors Community Radio, 99.5 on your dial, ktwh.org on your streaming device, bringing you this week's stories behind the stories in the Lake County Press with writer and editor Kitty Mayo. Good morning, Kitty. How are you on this fine day? The ground is dry, the sky is gray, and that's everything I know.
I'm great, Tom. Good morning.
Well, excellent. Our first piece is coming from our veterans rep, Brad Anderson, calling for compassion for veterans.
Yeah. So Brad is a wonderful contributor to the Lake County Press. Every week he puts out information about his role with Lake County as the Veterans Services Officer. And he is so committed and dedicated to reaching people. Tom, you and I talked about this before. Brad estimates between 900 and 1,000 veterans and family members of veterans in Lake County, which is a really big number considering our actual population. He feels like he's in touch with a low number of those veterans and is always trying to get more contact and involvement to let veterans know, military veterans know, what their benefits are, what they're eligible for, how he can help connect them to services that they have earned. So with the upcoming Veterans Day, on the day that this will air on Friday, this will air on the 10th, but Veterans Day is on the 11th. I asked Brad if he would expand his scope. I said, I'd love to have an article from you on the front page. You have a lot to say, and you're kind of shoehorned into a little bit of space every week. And he took that and embraced it and really spoke from his heart in this. Brad talked about the mental health of veterans and how we should be thinking beyond just thanking veterans for their service one day a year, but rather trying to connect more deeply and personally to save lives, frankly, is what he wrote about. It's a very moving piece. I also included a photograph of the courthouse lit up green since that started. It's kind of an incredible picture that Becky Norlean took. And again, in honor of veterans, all of the veterans in our county and throughout the country who have served the country and with a lot of sacrifice.
I appreciate his service and his dedication to the service that he is rendering us. But he does have a tough sell to make because veterans are taught from their first day in basic training or their first day in boot camp, you know, that you are responsible to and for yourself and are to be self-reliant, to improvise, to adapt, to overcome. And then when the door shuts behind you that last time, and there you are with your face hanging out, and you got to be self-reliant, improvise, yeah, adapt, overcome, and don't ask for help. And so it's a yeah, tough pitch to sell.
It is.
And I just learned of a recent development or discovery on another silent, invisible ailment unique to those who served in artillery barrages at the breech end of the gun. Mm. And there is a very dramatic shockwave each time that gun goes off. And even with hearing protection, it scrambles your innards in your brain box. And and after sufficient exposure, microscopic damage occurs, which affects thought processes at every degree and level. And veterans are either not getting diagnosed or are getting misdiagnosed. And, oh, golly, I should just stop, climb down, and allow you to move on here. Go ahead.
Well, before you move on, I do want to say, I think, Tom, that you've brought up a really important piece of this, and I've certainly experienced it as I've tried to reach out to veterans throughout Lake County for the last 15 years. And there's a very sort of isolating, self-reliant attitude that is pervasive, and it is getting in the way of veterans getting the help that they do need. So maybe that's the next mission, is really for veterans to learn that it's okay to be strong enough to ask for help and that the rest of us are ready to respond for that and looking for those opportunities. So thanks for that. And we'll move on to the next one.
Okay, you bet. I was going to add one other thing. There's no such thing as a reverse boot camp, or at least there was not when I was in. When we got out, we were out, and that was it.
Yeah.
It takes 3 months or so to turn you into a basic military person, and it takes a stroke of a pen to unmake you, and there should be a class of at least 1 or 2 weeks to teach people how to get along on the outside. Okay, our next piece here is about our new judge for Lake and Cook Counties, Mr. Steve Hank, or Hankey, I'm not sure which. I will learn that from you. His priorities seem to be on diversion, restorative justice, and treatment.
Exactly. I'm going to go with Hankey just because a long time ago I went to school with somebody whose last name spelled the same way and was pronounced Hankey, but I'm not certain on that. Stephen Hankey is still until December 4th when he is entered officially into his new job. He is an attorney for the city of Duluth in Duluth. He is married to Chelsea Helmer, who is originally from Two Harbors, and they have a young son. And everybody can see a picture of them. Stephen shared with the paper, Katya Gordon scored an exclusive interview with our new judge, Hankey. And as I said, his job officially starts in Lake County on December 4th. So he's replacing Michael Cuso, who retired just a couple of months ago. And this is by governor appointment. There were three individuals who applied for the job, and the governor appointed one, because it was an opening for a judge position outside of a regular election cycle that allows for a special appointment by the governor. So that's how that worked. Stephen Hankey will be the judge in Cook County and Lake County. He'll split his time between the two courthouses, just as Cuso did. And we're really looking forward to working with him at the Lake County Press, because he's very supportive of the idea of restorative justice. And that's an initiative that the press has been working on for several months now, trying to bring community members and systems members together to talk about how we can look at harms, repair, and healing from crimes that are committed, and how the community can do better together to move forward after harms occur. And this is something that Judge Hankey says he's really looking forward to talking about: diversion. What is at the source of a problem for someone who's committed a crime? Does it have to do with poverty? Does it have to do with drugs, alcohol, addictions, other issues that if they're dealt with and supported and provided resources to, that person could be a more whole and healed member of our community, and we would all do better from that. So we're really tickled that Katya got to have a good conversation with him and ask some questions. And if, whether you know it or not, this is a really important person in our community, Tom. So I think he's going to do a great job.
Well, excellent. And his priorities are encouraging as well, considering our past in a penal system where the paradigm was revenge, punishment, and at best, penitence and reform. Considering the names given to our institutions, penitentiaries and reformatories, and just plain prisons. So it'll be interesting to see this person bring some light into the county. Our our final piece, as I see it, is coming from Silver Bay. Ooh. Excavating a mystery structure, and some East Lakeview Road blasting and community meetings to discuss future of road replacement planning.
Yeah, I'll start with the low-hanging fruit on this one, Tom. I thought it was fun that and interesting that in some road construction work on East Lakeview Road, so this is the road in Silver Bay that runs down next to Black Beach, sort of just past the mining company facility. That road is being torn apart, widened, and redone because it's come into such a massive amount of use from out-of-towners. And so in order to keep it safe and build it right, sort of, instead of just using what happened to be there that had been put in a long time ago, it's being torn out. There's blasting going on. There's some ledge rock, some steepness issues that need to be rectified. And in that process, they uncovered what looks to me from the photo that I was able to see, and I did include in the paper, a culvert drainage kind of structure. But the fun thing was is that the engineers and construction folks didn't know it was there. It's undocumented. They can only guess that it was part of something to do with the mine. And they're going to end up filling it and covering it up again. I just thought it was kind of neat, sort of an archaeological mystery thing. So you can see a picture of that. The blasting has been going on all week, and I frankly have been feeling like I can feel blasting at my house at certain times. I don't know if that's actually possible. It seems unlikely, but seeing that I'm in two harbors. But just so people know, that may go on into next week. They weren't sure considering the road is closed, obviously, because of the blasting, and the area is closed off. But if you're experiencing some reverberations, that might be what it is. And hopefully they'll finish that up next week. So that part of the project is ongoing. They'll work on that again next year to finish it off. And then the other big deal, that there was a community meeting. So not a public hearing, just the city of Silver Bay said, we think we should get together and let people know what we're thinking about doing before we even get to a public meeting, in planning what Two Harbors has already done, sort of a comprehensive plan for street improvements. I got to talk to David Drown about the results of that meeting. He said about 100 people came. There were a lot of questions. People are sort of like, all right, this isn't great news. Our streets are falling apart because it's Silver Bay and they were built all at once. They're falling apart all at once. Kind of a rough go for them looking at that. They're trying to figure it out and figuring out how they can borrow money, how they can raise money through increase in taxes, and how they can also hopefully get assessments, which is a controversial word, although it's really not a controversial issue. It's pretty cut and dried. It's a hard thing when your home is assessed for $1,000, sometimes $10,000 or more. If your street needs to be replaced and the utilities need to be replaced under it, which are very expensive, it's, however, sort of a necessary in the formula, and Two Harbors has found that out along the way, and that's what Silver Bay is working on. So good luck to them going forward with that. It's going to be, you know, a 10-year or more project, and they expect to have a public hearing on the plan that will hopefully get put in place by within a few months.
Ah, yes. Part of the growing pains in a new city is the rising taxes. Those are part of the growing pains as well. If you're part of the city, you expect certain things of the city, but the city expects you to help pay for them. And that's what the taxes are about. I don't like it, but I recognize it. I accept it. I realize that it's what I pay to live in a city. And that mystery culvert, that'll be interesting. Yes, let's plug it up and then see what happens.
I thought you'd like that one, Tom.
Oh, sure. It does resonate with me. We have those in Two Harbors along our waterfront, dating from the earliest days of town. They had these huge wooden box culverts, and of course, they aren't, for the most part, recorded, and so and some of them still have water flowing through them. So, again, it's another one of life's little mysteries. Let's look forward to learning more about it.
Cool. I have one more, if you can stand it. I'd love to throw one more in there.
Sure, go ahead, do it.
Okay, so I'm really excited to announce that the live stream for the Split Rock Beacon Lighting commemorating the Edmund Fitzgerald wreck is going to be live streaming from our website, courtesy of the Minnesota Historical Society, and all of the Cherry Road newspapers throughout the country from their websites as well. It kind of captured the imagination of some people at the corporate level, and they thought this is such an amazing event that they wanted to stream that across the whole country. So everyone's going to be watching across America. And Tom, I know you're looking forward to some special events for the Gales of November. We have those in our calendar in the paper this week, and you can find those in other places. Also, the Gales of November Voices oral history is going to be happening on KTWH radio. So want people to kind of keep an eye out for all that stuff going on and get involved.
Cool beans. That's the best thing I can say about that. Excelsior. So to those of you who are listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you on the radio again next week. And to you, Kitty, as well. Thank you, and bye for now.
Bye, Tom. Thanks.